In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It seems like the more the things change, the more they stay the same. We see the same kind of issues going on in our world today. Abraham, in the first reading, has been given this great covenant with God, promised him this land of Canaan if he will remain faithful to God, and that the faith of Abraham was the faith that our Lord said that Abraham saw his day and saluted it. That Abraham, his faith consisted in the promise of a Redeemer, of the Incarnation. All that was in some way incorporated in what Abraham was called by God to have faith in. Even when Abraham would later on be called to sacrifice his son Isaac, he really had to believe that God could raise his son from the dead, because he knew that Isaac was supposed to be the father of, was to be his descendant, who was supposed to, from him should come offspring, and that would make him, Abraham, this as the Lord says, a father of many nations. Obviously, this covenant with Abraham was not one purely of physical descent, because our Lord is talking about kings and nations will come from you. And of course, there have been some nations that have come who are physically Semitic, who are of the blood of Abraham, but our Lord was talking far more profoundly about having the faith of Abraham, whom we even say in the first canon of the, Abraham, our father in faith, that he had that faith, which that's what the covenant was all about. And that's the covenant that will remain, is this spiritual one of faith, the one that later on will be not done away with, but will be fulfilled. Are those who have the faith of Abraham will accept Christ as their Lord and Master, and that they will embrace his new covenant. They will then be true descendants of Abraham. Recently, I was reading that when the father of what is modern day Zionist state of Israel went to Pope Pius X to seek his approval for Israel being established as a nation in 1948, which would be in later 1948, he went to Pius X to propose tell him of his plan to see that the Jews could return back to Israel, to Palestine. And Pope Pius X said to him, "Of giving you my blessing or my agreement to that, I cannot do." He said, "But if you come to the Palestine, I'll make sure that there's many priests there to baptize you." That was his solution to their dilemma. Because the Jews will be, in many cases, are spiritually wandering, because the home that they're looking for is the church, the new Jerusalem, the new Israel. So they will not be even satisfied if they were even to be given a plot of ground that once was theirs, but no longer is theirs, because, as we said before, that covenant was to the degree that they remained faithful to God. And that faithfulness to God meant that when they, as they said they were, our father is Abraham, well, our Lord said, if you were truly children of Abraham, you would recognize me, and you do not. So therefore, you don't have the requirements. You don't meet the conditions upon which you need in order to remain here. Because, as he said, our Lord is going to widen this notion of what is the Holy Land. We're not going to worship on this mountain or on that mountain. We're now going to worship God in spirit and in truth. That holy mountain of the Lord will be taken wherever the Church of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, is. This here in Griswold, this friary, this church, is the mountain of the Lord in this area. In Jewett City, there's another church there that's the mountain of the Lord. Wherever the true altar of God is, that's where the mountain of the Lord is, where the holy sacrifice, the Mount Calvary of our day, is being offered. So that today, as we hear our Lord conversing with the Pharisees, interesting that he keeps referring to his opponents as the Jews. Well, our Lord's a Jew. The ones who believe in our Lord, they're also Jews, but for some reason our Lord identifies those who oppose his message as the Jews. It seems that our Lord is making a distinction because his doctrine makes you more than a Jew, or is something different than being just a of the race of the Jewish people. And so those who are resisting him, those who are opposing our Lord, are those who are just looking upon the covenant that Abraham established as somehow just being of blood, but not of spirit. And so this will be the opposition that our Lord will have, which will bring him ultimately to his condemnation and his being crucified. He claims to be the King of the Jews. No, he claimed to be the King of all creation. They keep trying to narrow our Lord down, keep trying to put walls around him. But our Lord, it came, and the message of his was for all mankind. Just as we see that was the case, the implication of Abraham, that Abraham's promise was not just for his descendants in the blood, but those who have the faith of Abraham. That, as we know, Pius the 12th, I believe it was, that we're all spiritual Semites if we are followers of Christ. Let us pray today, because as we know, much conflict. You know, the world is on the verge of even greater conflict because of not having the proper faith, not having the right understanding of what God intended, and not wanting to follow his will. That we can see that there are people who have a different agenda. They have their own world order they want to establish, whether it be the Zionist Jews who want to have their world order, or the Muslims who want to have their world order. Those two world orders do not respect or do not recognize the true world order, which is the one established by Christ. That's the order that is the only order that will bring peace when everybody has, which is such a falsehood to say, or to claim that Jesus Christ is king, is not a anti-Semitic term. It's not anything but the truth. That Christ is the King of all creation. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And until all mankind recognize our Lord's role, not only in individual souls, but nations. Until nations bow down before Christ as their king, as their sovereign, then we will not have peace. As Pius the 11th said, you cannot have the peace of Christ if you do not have the reign of Christ. And you can't have the reign of Christ without submitting yourself to the teaching of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which is his mystical body. You know, the solution for peace in the world is so simple. Politicians make it complicated. We need less politicians, and we need more people who have faith in the Word of God and in his promises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Miserere.